Hey, could we welcome our online family this morning? Let's welcome them. God bless you. So glad you're with us. Peace to your house. You may be seated. Are you better than when you got here? I am, and I showed up okay today. I really did. So glad you're all here. Welcome to those of you joining us online as well. Did you come ready? Did you come expecting today? Anybody come needing to hear God's word today? All right, about seven of you. That's good. Hey, before I get into the message this morning, I share this with you every service at some point in the service. Really, in our new format, we're not really doing any announcements or things like that. I'm trying to really keep everything kind of what we would call inner court. And so what I'm going to share with you right now, these are not announcements. I want you to hear my heart. These are not announcements. This is... It's not me. However that happened. These are not announcements. This is really me encouraging you in every way that I can to arrange your life. Arrange your life in a way that it works, okay? And as I often say, everything we do around here is very intentional. We're very intentional. We don't want to just do something to do it or do it because somebody else does it. We're intentional about these. So I just want to remind you, these are kind of some holy reminders of some things that we feel are very important. First of all, stewardship. That is your giving, okay? Your giving acknowledges the Lord. It's something that the Lord said to do. How many of you know that God is your source? God is your source and He is your provider, and I think He's worth a thank you, okay? He's worth being acknowledged in that way. He's also given us some instruction in His Word about how we handle that, and that first part of that belongs to the Lord. And so that's not selfish at all. That is acknowledging your source and giving Him honor. But the other part of that is when you do that, it actually invites Him to be involved in that area of your life. And I say this so often, don't get tired of hearing this. You need God in your finances. I said, you need God in your finance. And so that's one of the ways that you invite Him in. The second thing would be growth track. With a church our size and everything that's going on, you've got to have kind of a central hub where you can kind of get plugged in. You can find out more about the vision. Actually, we have it designed where you find out a little more about yourself as well. And so just in short, it's a way to join the family. It's also a way to join the team. Because I believe that everybody should find their place. Everybody should serve. How many of you like that all the parts of your body work? Amen. You like when all the parts of your body function? Jesus does too, okay? And so everybody can find their place in that. So growth track happens during the second service out in room 401, and people can direct you there. The other thing are groups. You know, this is one of the settings that we get into that is so vital for us, that we're called to. The Lord said, do this so much the more, even as you see the day approaching. But there are numerous ways that we can do this, and one of the ways is groups. And what happens with groups, as we say, you get out of rows and you get into circles. You can get a little more up close. You can know and be known. You can love and be loved. You can serve and be served. And you can pray and be prayed for, and groups are just a vital part. We have a groups hub out in the hallway as well. And I would say this for somebody today, your best friend that you've been looking for is probably in a group. You might just meet them in a group. And then the other thing, very important, prayer matters. Prayer matters, okay? We believe that your future is paved in prayer. We believe that also prayer is something that God's invited us in to participate with that is life-changing. And so after every service, everybody say every service. After every service, we have pastors and spouses and prayer team that would be up here to pray with you. It would be a shame for you to come in carrying some cares and burdens and then you carrying them out with you. Leave them here and have somebody agree with you in prayer. And so they're glad to do that. And whatever you're comfortable with, I've told them have a mask with them. And if you, hey, I want somebody to pray with me, but if I'm going to get kind of up close, I want to, hey, our whole goal is to help you. So whatever we got to do, if you want me to wear a funny hat to pray for you, I'll wear a funny hat, okay? It's just so that we can get some prayer happening in your life. Amen? Do you receive all that today? Well, we're in an important series called Done with Dysfunction. Everybody say, I am done. Now, a little more attitude. I am done. Done is an attitude. Done is it's determined. It's a stance you would take. It's almost defiant. And it doesn't mean that everything is finished, but it's like it's going to be. And you need to have that attitude. We have allowed ourselves to just coexist, to just make room for dysfunction to not only be in our life, but to stay in our life. And then, and I'll say this a little bit later, in what you don't address, what you don't repair, tends to get repeated. So it's going to get passed on. So somewhere we've got to stop it. So that's why we're done. Say it again, I'm done. And we need to be done with dysfunction. Last week, I kind of set all of that up. I'm not going to go into all that I did last week, or we'll never get to what we need to do this week. But please go back. You can go online. You can go to our app. And you can watch it again. You can listen to it again, and so forth. And I believe that that will be a help for you. Now, while we have, and let me frame this again for you, while we have an all-wise, almighty, creator, redeemer, God that is our heavenly Father. Anybody glad for that? Amen. That's your heavenly Father. And he has blessed you. He has called you. He has created you. He has loaded you with gifts and callings and potential. And you're a blessing just waiting to happen. And his favor is on your life. While we have that on one hand, on the other hand, we have a devious, horrible enemy of our soul. Come on, y'all. We've got an enemy. And sometimes we don't want to think about that. And he certainly doesn't want you to think about it. He'd rather you think of, the devil would rather you think of him in cartoon terms. And he would rather have you overthink him or not think about him at all. But we have to put all of this in balance. We have our Heavenly Father, and then we have an enemy of our soul. And so God, everything that God wants for you, the enemy does not want for you. So he comes to steal. He comes to steal, and he comes to destroy, and he's devious, and he's despicable that way. And he works against you. He works against you. And here's the reality with dysfunction. He's been working against you since before you were even born. Now, it's going to get a little touchy here just for a second. He's been at work in your family for generations. I said he's been working against you in your family for generations. And so we have things that we've inherited that wasn't what we wanted to inherit. You know, how many of you would love to get a certified letter tomorrow that you had a rich, rich, great eight, great, great aunt that lived in Albuquerque? You didn't even know her, but she's leaving you the state of New Mexico. You know, it's something like that. You know, you'd love that kind of inheritance, but there's a lot of other stuff that's coming down the pike that we need to deal with. So there is an assault. There is an attack on you, and it's been going on for a long time. And we need to be done. We need to be done with it. So it attacks your sense of security. The enemy loves you to be insecure. I'll go ahead and say it. Every one of us have some insecurities. And it comes off in different forms: fear, anger, pride. You know, but all of those are kind of masks and responses to insecurity. He works against your sense of dignity, your sense of significance. He wants to neutralize your gifts and your callings. He wants to derail God's plan for your life. And God has a plan for your life, and the enemy would love to derail that plan for your life. And here's the thing again about dysfunction, okay? He wants you to not only be dysfunctional in some part of your life, he wants you to pass on that dysfunction. Come on, I came to work. Did y'all come? Okay. He wants you to pass that on, because you're either going to pass on your hurting or your healing. You're going to pass on something. And so this is, again, why we must be done with dysfunction. And while you are the target of the enemy, the bullseye on that target, you ready? Imagine this. I probably should have brought a target up here with me. You're the target. But the bullseye on that target that he's really aimed at, you ready? Is your identity. Your identity. And this is under assault in our culture more than ever, ever, ever before. There's so much confusion in our world about who we even are, what we are, anything else. I mean, it's hitting on every level, every level, every level, every level. We have no idea who we are, and the enemy loves you to be confused about that. Because if you miss your identity, you're going to miss your purpose. Amen. That's right. You didn't hear me. If you miss your identity, you're going to miss your purpose. And so what I want to talk about today, if I have a subtitle for today, it would be this right here, who you are, who you are. Come on, everybody say it, who you are. I want to help you today to find out who you are. And some of you are like, oh, thank God. I've been wondering who I was. Your identity is not just who you are, what you are, but it's how you see, how you perceive. It's your perception. Let me put it this way. How you see yourself and how you see the world around you, we've said this for decades, determines the quality, the direction, and the destiny of your life. So how you see yourself, your perception. Everybody say perception. And this is important because the enemy is trying to cloud this. He's trying to blur this. He's trying to alter this, who you are. And it's important that you know who you are. And so your perception, if your perception is off about yourself, your perception will be off about the world around you. And when that happens, that will have great impact. That will determine the direction of your life, the quality of your life, if you fulfill destiny or not for your life. So ultimately it's this. This is going to show up. Your perceptions, your identity about yourself and the world around you are going to show up. Don't miss this. They're going to show up in your choices. They're going to show up in your decisions. And if we get our decisions and our choices wrong, we're going to have dysfunction. We're going to have a long string of dysfunction because we made wrong choices and made wrong decisions. All of it goes back to your outlook, your perception. I could put it this way. Your outlook greatly determines your outcomes. So all of this, my identity, everybody say my identity. And who you are, say who I am. All of that shows up in your choices. It shows up in your decisions. Bishop Dale Bronner, here's an incredible quote by him. He says, you are born looking like your parents. You die looking like your decisions. I want to read that again. I think that's all we're going to do the rest of the morning is just read this over and over. You are born looking like your parents, good or bad. You die looking like your decisions. Do not tell me that your decisions don't matter, that your choices don't matter, but the root of it going back is how you see yourself, how you see the world around you. That's why today I want to help you to find out, to see who you are. And so this is why the enemy aims. He aims at your identity. He aims at your perception, because if he can get you away from your identity, if he can get you away from your identity, he can get you away from your purpose. And if he gets away from those, as I said, you're going to have just a string of bad choices, bad decisions, and you're going to live and pass on dysfunction. Can I tell you something? When something's broken, it typically doesn't just get better by leaving it alone. Okay? It requires some attention. It requires some light to come to it and some help to come. So Jesus, do you remember this in the Gospels? He was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days. Do y'all remember that? Okay. And part of the reason that he was out there was to be tempted of the devil. And so the devil came. The scripture records three temptations that the devil brought to him. I'm not going to go into all of that today, but incredible to me, notable to me, is the opening line of the devil to Jesus for every temptation was this. You ready? If you are the Son of God. If you're really the Son of God, then... And he tried to get him to alter and use his powers in different ways counter to his purpose. So it's a question of your identity, because if the enemy can get you confused about who you are, then he can also get you off track concerning your purpose. Are y'all following with me this morning? Look with me in John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name, okay, we're talking about identity, his name was John. Now, this was John the Baptist. Y'all remember John? I wish I had a picture of him this morning. He's a little different, okay? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for, okay, here's his purpose, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's skip down a little bit. Verse 19, now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Go ahead. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. He said, are you the prophet? And he said, no. He said, no. Now, here's the thing that I want you to see here. He knew who he was not. Come on, read it with me. He knew who he was not. This is super important. Because if you're going to find out who you are, you've got to find out who you are not. John was not, you're not, what others think or say about you. They thought he might be, they wondered if he might be, you know, Elijah, the Messiah, the light, whoever, the prophet. And we live in a culture where there's peer pressure, where there's social media. We live in a bully culture. We live in a crazy day that tries to push you. It's been going on since you were in third grade, y'all. You got to act that way, dress that way, be this way, talk this way. You know, there's a pressure that's always around us to nudge us from off who we really, really are. Do you know how much time, effort, and even money we have wasted over our lives trying to be something that we're not? Can you imagine if I showed up here today and I got cowboy boots and... I mean, that's not me. Come on. But we've all done that to fit in somewhere, you know. I guess I better do this. I guess I better dress this way, look this way, act this way, talk this way, whatever else. And we can kind of lose our way. And this is huge because you've got to know who you are not. Real quick, and I wish I could really expand on this story, but in Acts chapter 19, there are some guys, there's seven brothers. They're called the seven sons of Sceva. And they are, actually the Bible calls them exorcists. So they were con men also, you know, to drive out evil spirits from people. And so there was a guy who had evil spirits, and they decided, because they saw the Apostle Paul in powerful ways come along and use the mighty name of Jesus and drive demons out of people, okay? So they said, let's try that. So they go up to this guy who has demons inside of him and said, hey, we're speaking to you in Jesus' name that Paul uses. Come out of that guy. And the demon spoke back. How many of you know that would thrill you? The demon spoke back and said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? And it says that the demons, you ready for this? Seven guys. Demon came out, overpowered them, beat them, and sent them running out of the house. This is in the Bible. Running out of the house, naked and bleeding. Here's the point. When you try to act what you are not, it's going to be embarrassing and painful. Okay? So you've got to know who you are not. Are y'all with me? Go back to John chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, he was not, we read this a minute ago, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So he knows who he's not, and he knows his purpose here. Go ahead. He said, I am, all right, so we're going to find out who he is. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. As I told you last week, John found himself in the scripture. Found who he was in the scripture. That speaks for us this morning. Go ahead, next verse. John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Go ahead. It is he coming after me is preferred before me whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unloose. Now here's the thing. He knew who he was. And see, by knowing who you're not, that's part of the key to find out who you are. Y'all with me? This, he knew who he was. He also knew who he was in relationship to Jesus. And he also knew his purpose. So when you know your identity, when you know who you are, you're going to find that in relation to Jesus, and it's also going to reveal your purpose. Now look in John 1:22. Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us?" Get this, "What do you say about yourself?" Here's the question for you today. What do you say about yourself? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And so they had to find out. You know, they were sent to find out who John was. You have to. You ready, church? You have to know and you have to say who you are. You have to know and you have. Let me put it to you this way. The devil doesn't care. He doesn't care whose tongue speaks against you, whether it's somebody else's or it's yours. He prefers you to speak against you. He just wants somebody to speak against you. And look at me for this minute. Listen to me. Stop speaking against yourself. Stop it. It's proof you don't know who you are. Dumb. I mess things up. Nothing works out for me. I'm too heavy. I'm too thin. I'm too tall. I'm too short. Too fast. I'm too slow. Stop it. Stop it. Because I'm telling you what, the devil, that's what he wants, is somebody speaking against you. As part of your problem today is someone has said words over you, over your life. Most of your wounds have been words. And then for you to propagate that and continue that about your own life, that you would speak against yourself, means you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. So let me go back on the idea of who you are not, okay? And I've got just a partial list, but let's go through this real quick. You are not, say, I am not. Watch this. You are not what you look like. See, some people are so wrapped up that who you are really is how you look. And let me tell you, for the whole list that I'm going to give you here, it's going to fill up the whole screen. But for the whole list, all these things you should do a good effort at, okay? I'm not saying, oh, good. It doesn't matter what I look like. That's not what I said. I think we should present ourselves well. Thank you, three of you. I think we should present ourselves well. I think we should present ourselves well. But that's not who you are. You are not what you look like. Go ahead. You're not what you do. That didn't mean you don't have to try. But that's just not who you are. You are not what you have. You're not what others say about you. You're not what or where you came from. You're not what happened to you. You're not what was done to you. And you're not what you have done. You're not these things. Now, all of these impact you. All of these are part of your story, what you look like, what you do, what you have, what other people say, where you came from, what's happened to you, what was done to you, what you have done. All of those things, they impact you. They're part of your story. But get this here. The only true reflection of who you are, who you really are, is found in God's Word. I want everybody to read this with me. We're going to take our time on this. You ready? The only true reflection of who you really are is found in God's Word. One more time. The only true reflection of who you really are is found in God's Word. Can I tell you that God's Word, this is the manufacturer's manual. How can a book that's been around for hundreds, how can that tell me who I am? Hang out with me. But listen, this is the mirror of God's Word is the only true reflection of who you are. This is the manufacturer's / owner's manual. You know, sometimes you try to find out something about your car, or you try to find something about an appliance. You got to go back to the one who made it. Okay, you've got to, and in any good manual, there's a troubleshooting page or pages. That's what the whole thing is. Okay, to help us with our troubleshooting and our dysfunction and so forth. And in God's word, it's going to reveal our identity, our purpose, our relationship. Let me go back to this. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to find your purpose. I know I've said that, but if you don't know what something is, you're not going to use it right. You're going to end up painting with a screwdriver. I don't know what it is, but I got to paint this wall. I'll use it. How many of you know that's dysfunctional? Come on, church, y'all here? Or you're going to take grandma's heirloom tablecloth because you didn't know what it was, and you're holding a car wash. See, when we don't know what we are, we're not going to find our purpose. And that's what the enemy wants to get us off of, not just our identity, but also our purpose. Let me put it to you this way. A life lived in the light of God's word functions best. I'll say it again. A life lived in the light of God's word functions best. We're done with dysfunction. Well, I'm trying to tell you how it functions best. Live your life in the light of God's word. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let me tell you something. I got to get real with you. Get a Bible. Get a Bible. Oh, I got one. It will get in it and get it in you. We spend money on everything else. I am a budding young golfer. I have the stuff, okay? And the other day, I had a little bit, and I stopped at the Play It Again Sports or whatever because I was looking for this other club. I needed this club that has a little more loft, and I got a good used one for $12. And I'm looking through all the clubs, and there it is, and I found it. You know, and we'll go to great lengths to do all kinds of stuff that, come on, doesn't matter. Y'all hear me? It just doesn't matter. And yet we'll leave our Bible. Honey, where's my Bible? Or we have one and we never do anything with it. And I'm telling you, if you're going to make it in these days, hear your pastor. If you're going to make it in these days, you better get in the Bible and you better get the Bible in you, because a life lived in the light of God's word is functional. You will discover who you are. You will discover what you have. You'll discover what you can do in relationship to God and the world around you through his word. Look with me quickly in Colossians 2. This is in the Message paraphrase. Watch out for people. If this is not right now, I don't know what is. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. That's called the news. Yeah. Okay. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize, get this, the fullness of Christ, go ahead, and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Look at verse 10 now, back in the New King James. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I'm trying to tell you who you are today, okay? I'm trying to tell you who you are. Look at me. You are complete. You are complete. Go ahead and say it. I am complete. And it's in him, though. It's not just like, no, it's in him that you are complete. That word complete actually means to make replete, to level up a hollow, to furnish, to supply, to fill up. You are complete. Say it again. I am complete. You're complete in him. Let me just expand on that for a moment. You are complete in him. Here's just a list. You're forgiven. You're chosen, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're beloved, you're blessed, you're cleansed, you're strong, you're free, you have favor, you have peace, you have joy, you have purpose, you have a call, you have wisdom, You're filled. You're helped. You're led. You're graced. You're never alone. You're never without help. You have new mercies every morning. You have everything that you need for life and for godliness. You're complete. And when you're complete, you're functional. See, a lot of people are dysfunctional because they don't know they're forgiven. A lot of people are dysfunctional because they don't know that they're helped. A lot of people are dysfunctional because they don't know that they have wisdom that would come from above, the vantage point of God that can come to you and for your and for your life. And so we end up dysfunctional when God wants us functional. And a life lived in the light of God's word is the best life. That is a functional life. Now, I want to break down two big ideas, and I want you to hold real tight with me on this. All of this gets processed in your soul. Everybody say, my soul. It's where you think. It's where you feel. It's where you decide. Some people refer to it as your heart and your mind. It's that part of you. That's where you process everything. That's where you process negative things. That's where you process positive things. It's where all of that gets processed. Guess what comes out of that? Perception. Guess what comes out of that? Choices, decisions. What comes out of that? Outcomes. So all of it is back in your soul. Everybody say, my soul. So in your heart and in your mind, there's a couple of things that you need to know. Now follow this carefully. You need to know in your heart and your mind, watch this, how little I deserve and how much I've been given. Okay, you need to know how little I deserve, how much I've been given. Now, if I only know and focus on how little I deserve, do you know what happens with that? That turns into self-loathing. If I only focus on how much I have been given, that becomes self-satisfied. Bless me, club. And neither of those are good by themselves. Because if I'm self-loathing or if I'm self-satisfied, you know what I am? I'm self-focused. I'm self-absorbed. There's something better. And that is when I can get both of those things. When I can get the balance of both of these. Watch this. That I understand how little I deserve and how much I've been given. How lost, but how loved. How broken, but how blessed. How flawed, but how favored. And when I hold those two together, you know what? I can get beyond myself and see that all of that is in Jesus. And it's Him, in Him, that I get beyond myself, and I actually then can find myself. Because most of our dysfunction is holding either one of those and not both of those. So either you're going around how little you deserve and how a mess that you are, or you're going around with all that you have and all that's been given to you, and you end up on the wrong end of the spectrum too. It's both of those together, and as they come together, that's where we find freedom. We find freedom, and we can discover ourselves, find ourselves in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, there is, and in my mind, this is perhaps the greatest theological truth of the Bible. I don't know if you're up for that this early in the morning. I think you are. First of all, you're not under the law. You're under grace. You need to realize also that you are no longer under the looming threat of God's judgment. Now hear all this together. We're no longer under the looming threat of God's judgment. Here's the point. Here's the point right here. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment, the full punishment that our sins deserve, thereby moving our judgment day from the future to the past. Now hear it again. On the cross, everybody say, on the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the full punishment that our sins deserve. And because he did that, he moved our judgment day out of our future and he moved it into our past. Do you know what's ahead of me? Not judgment. Because at the cross, Jesus took care of that. Amen. Okay, I still see some of you trying. Imagine you had a bill. And you're like, I know that's due in 3 weeks. I do not know how I'm going to pay that bill. Y'all with me? So that's looming out in your future. And if you don't pay it, there's going to be trouble. It's going to be really bad if I'm not able to pay that. But for then you to get notice that 3 weeks ago, Jesus paid the bill for you. How do you feel then? Have you ever been there where you've got a bill? Maybe this morning you got it out ahead of you. That's coming. I have no idea how we're going to take care of all of that and make everything happen. You know, how would you feel if suddenly you get notice, though, that somebody paid that in full for you? Okay, so now it's no longer in your future. It's in your past. I just told y'all the greatest thing ever in the world. Y'all just. All right, now, hold on. Or what if you had a project? Like when I was in seminary, I had these huge papers that I had to write. And that would just stay on you because you got to research, you got to write it, you got to edit it, and you have deadlines. And it just kind of rides on you. It's out in your future that comes due. A grade depends on it. Your degree depends upon it. But then what if you found out that suddenly you're exempt from it because somebody wrote the paper, did the project for you? Can y'all say relief? And see, a lot of our dysfunction in life is because we're walking around with this heavy, heavy load that when you understand from God's word, if you understand what Jesus has done for you at the cross and through the empty grave, that he's taking care of you. Amen. Romans, and I'm not going to read all this right now, but the book of Romans tells us there's no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. At the end of the chapter, it says this, and if God is for you, who could be against you? So when I can, and that's the, I like to put it this way, that Romans chapter 8 are the treetops of the high trees of the New Testament. This is the high spot here that we find out there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we find out that if God is for me, then who can be against me? I tell you what, I'm already more functional just knowing those two things. But then toward the end of that chapter, it says that there's some things in this life. I made the list here, and it says there's tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword. How many of you know all those things are present? But he said all those things may would be present. But then he goes on to say this. You ready? Nothing in all of creation, none of those things, though they exist, though they would be present, none of those things can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All right. Now I've taken several shortcuts, but we're there this morning. You ready? To tell you who you are today. You ready? You are loved by God. You are loved by God. Now get this. And that's the beginning of all the rest of who you are. That's the beginning. That opens up the door for you to just know. And if you know nothing else today, I hope you know this. I am loved by God. Why don't you say it with me? I am loved by God. And when you understand I'm loved by God, when you understand there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and if God is for me, who could be against me? And I don't deserve much, but I've been given so much, and it just reminds me it's not me anyway, it's Jesus and his love for me that will help me no matter what surrounds me. Persecution, famine, danger, sword, all the things that would be around us. There is nothing on this planet that can separate you a person's opinion, cancel culture, this, that, this broken thing, all the things that are around us, listen, they cannot separate you from who you really are. And who you really are, to start with, the foundation, the beginning place is this: you are loved by God. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment and say this with me. I am loved by God. Say it one more time. I am loved by God. One more time. I am loved by God. Now get this. When I know that I'm loved by God, then I no longer, that's relief. I no longer am trying to get his attention. I have nothing left to earn, I've got to prove. I don't have to hide anything from him. When I know that I'm loved by God, think about it. Go back to junior high and you're trying to get that cute girl's attention. Or if you're a girl, trying to get that cute guy's attention. But once you found out and they asked you to the dance, the prom, the whatever, and then you knew. Or, you know, when I asked Alicia, will you marry me? And she goes, I don't know. I hadn't met all the guys in the world yet, you know? That's not what she said. But just to land that inside, that, yeah. And for you to know, listen to me, for you to know that God loves you, stop striving. And now any effort that you put out, any obedience that you do, it's not trying to get God to notice you or accept you or approve you or love you or anything else. You know what it is? It is now you living in the light of his word, and you're becoming more and more free. You're going to be more and more who you are. You're going to be more and more functional. You're going to be, ready? You're going to be more and more happy and stable and fruitful and blessed. That's pretty functional. And remember, then whatever you are gets passed on, and you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. And ultimately, then your whole life is just about glorifying God. We are done with dysfunction. And if you're truly serious about that, you've got a zero on this. You have an enemy of your soul who cannot stand you. He's out to destroy you. You're a target. You're a target. He not only wants you dysfunctional, he wants you more dysfunctional. He wants you to pass that dysfunction on and on and on and on. You're a target. And the bullseye on that target is your identity. Your identity is your key to your purpose and everything else in becoming functional and fruitful in this life. And you've got to know who you are. And the very beginning piece, the key that opens the door to the rest of who you are, is this right here. You are loved by God. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so. I pray so.